meets me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, it's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Corey.
So what are we discussing this week?
We're going to revisit a site that we first talked about here in Abandoned Manitoba way back in 2015. It's an abandoned site here in Winnipeg that I have distinct memories of visiting as a child. I remember it because of the smell.
Okay. So what's the, is it a good smell? Like what's the smell?
Well, it's hard to describe. I wouldn't describe it as a good smell. I don't think it was sort of like food cooking, but very, very strong and like no food that I had ever eaten. It was there all the time. And as a kid, I wondered how people who lived in the area could stand it. You know, I suppose their noses adapted and filtered out the smell, but I sure would not want to have lived next to the Union Stockyards on Marion Street, where cattle and other livestock were bought and sold.
Oh, yeah. Well, when were the Union Stockyards built?
Well, their roots go back to the 1880s with the arrival in Winnipeg of the Canadian Pacific Railway. As herds of cattle and other livestock began to displace bison on the prairies, the CPR began delivering the animals that were intended for slaughter here to Winnipeg. To house them, the railway built extensive stock pens near its western yards over on what is now McPhillip Street. But those pens were very basic. They provided no facility to protect the animals from the hot sun of the summer or from the cold of the winter. And they didn't have any ability to feed the animals or water them, so it wasn't ideal conditions for those poor animals. But that changed in 1910.
So what happened in 1910?
Well, a group of ranchers approached the provincial premier, Rodmond Roblin, and urged him to develop a better animal holding facility in the name of cementing Winnipeg's position as the economic powerhouse of Western Canada. In response, Roblin sent experts to view stockyards at Montreal and New York City. Their recommendation was to build a state-of-the-art facility here, bigger and better than anything elsewhere. They didn't find any suitable location in Winnipeg, however, so they turned to its sister city across the Red River, St. Boniface. They selected a huge site and began building animal sheds sufficient to hold 1,800 cattle and 6,000 sheep under roofs, along with another 1,300 cattle and 7,000 sheep in open pens. Surrounding these animal sheds were miles of paved roads, streetcar lines, and railway tracks served by the three major railways that were existing at that time. And there were administrative buildings containing offices, a restaurant, and a bank.
Kind of sounds like a bit of a small city, but just, I guess, animals are the population.
That's right. Just a few human workers, of course.
Yes.
But it provided all the municipal services. There was a powerhouse to generate electricity to provide lights around the facility. There was a network of sewer lines to collect the inevitable wastes that would accumulate. And there was a 90-foot tall tower to provide water acquired from a nearby well. The water was delivered to buildings around the grounds as well as to fire hydrants. Because, of course, when you've got all that, you know, wood from the buildings, inevitably there'd be fires. And in turn, the small city led to the formation of several institutions.
What do you mean by institutions?
Well, to oversee the sale of livestock at auction, in 1914, several agents, traders, and livestock buyers formed what they called the Winnipeg Livestock Exchange. Basically, it was a counterpart to the Winnipeg Grain Exchange. And then for social interaction between the workers of the facility, a few years later, they formed what they called the Hoof and Horn Club. Well, I guess logical name, I suppose. And the idea was that this was a sort of a place where the members of the Union Stockyards, the workers could relax. They fielded football teams, softball teams, curling, and soccer teams in the local leagues. Well, in fact, at its peak, the stockyards employed some 3,000 workers. You know, it was essentially the major employer in St. Boniface.
So, I mean, it sounds like, you know, the small city, they had all these institutions, things were pretty efficient. So then why was it so smelly?
Well, in truth, it wasn't the stockyards that stank. It was the meat processing plants surrounding the stockyards. In 1916, recognizing the efficiency that would occur if animals bought at auction at the stockyards could be processed right on site rather than being transported elsewhere, two meat cutting plants were established on the edge of the grounds. They would buy animals and process them into meat products for sale in stores all over Western Canada. In 1925, a new meat packing plant along Archibald Street was opened. 2 years later, it merged with several other meat packers from Eastern Canada to form a company that I suspect some of our listeners will have heard of, a company called Canada Packers. In 1935, an American meat packer called Swift's built a large plant beside Canada Packers on Archibald. So there were these two huge operations right on Archibald, and that was the source of most of the smell, you know, because they were processing a lot of animals. By this time, the Union stockyards were capable of holding 14,000 cattle, 8,000 hogs, and 2,000 sheep. And the facility kept growing through the middle of the 20th century. By 1975, they handled nearly 1 million animals over the course of the year. But unfortunately, things soon began to change.
What changed?
Well, as other markets for livestock appeared here in Manitoba and elsewhere, the number of animals that were handled at the Union Stockyard started to plummet. By 1985, just 10 years after it had handled nearly a million animals, they just handled a quarter of that number. The stockyards finally closed in 1988, and the Canada Packers and the Swift's meat packing plants closed shortly afterward. You know, I have to think that St. Boniface residents, although missing the employment opportunities, didn't miss the noise, the traffic, and the smell that had been associated with the stockyards, well, for 76 years, most of people's lives.
Yeah, I imagine. So what happened to the facility then?
Well, the pens, the sheds, and the other buildings were demolished. But the water tower was left standing for reasons that I've never quite understood. In fact, the stockyards was one of the first places that I visited when I bought a drone years ago. And I took lots of photos because, you know, at one time it was described as the largest of its kind in the British Empire. And here it was sitting abandoned.
And how about the meatpacking plants?
Well, the buildings were left standing and were strewn with graffiti as, well, inevitably vandals broke into them quite often. The city of Winnipeg, well, they were unfortunately left to clean up the mess. So in 1994, the old Swift's plant became the very first building in Winnipeg to be demolished by explosives. The Canada Packers building was bought by a local entrepreneur, and I guess there was visions of using it for something else, but it was later seized when he failed to pay taxes on the property. And so after a very thorough environmental cleanup that involved the removal of contaminated soil, of course, all those years of waste material building up, there was hazardous materials, things like asbestos. And of course, inevitably, when you've got abandoned buildings, you've got mountains of pigeon poop in the vacant building. The whole thing was torn down in 2001.
So what's there now?
Well, unfortunately, nothing much has changed since we first visited the Union Stockyards here in abandoned Manitoba 7 years ago. A portion of the site is occupied by a vehicle storage depot, but the rest of it remains abandoned. You know, at one time, there were grand plans for a residential, commercial, and recreational development, but they went unfulfilled. You know, there were thoughts of building a stadium here, but of course, it was built at the University of Manitoba campus in Fort Garry instead. You know, so I'm kind of surprised. You know, here's one of the largest vacant lots close to downtown Winnipeg, and it, for whatever reason, just doesn't seem to be developed. You know, but the old livestock holding facility is still readily visible. You know, for example, the concrete floors of all those animal holding sheds are still readily visible. You know, although there is grass and trees poking through in numerous places where the concrete has cracked away. And, you know, it's interesting because the water tower, still emblazoned with the name Union Stockyards on its side, still stands. So, you know, if anybody driving down Marion Street, you know, looks just briefly to the south, you know, they'll see that that water tower still has one reminder of that once grand facility.
But they're also glad there's no smell or mountains of pigeon.
Oh, I'm sure they have to be glad for that because, hey, the smell was what defines it for me. I mean, it's been decades since I ever went by there, but I still have this very distinct memory of driving by there as a child.
Huh. Well, thanks for that, Gordon. What will we be talking about in 2 weeks when you join us next?
Well, we're going to meet a charismatic Manitoban whose Brandon business is now on the verge of abandonment. But in its heyday, his business offered fancy dining in the fabulous Saddle Room, as well as drinks and fine entertainment in the Campfire Lounge.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. Well, thanks so much, Gordon.
We'll talk then. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.